Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? Happy Tuesday to you. Hopefully you're over the Monday blues, the Monday blahs, and you're ready to enjoy some fun sports talk radio today. We got a lot of stuff going on today. Someone owes the Milwaukee Bucks an apology, damn it, and he's going to give it to them. We're going to talk about that series. We're going to talk about the Diamondbacks just getting old-fashioned whooped with a switch. Golden State, please don't let this image. And we're going to talk some Cardinals. I want to ask Greg Moore, award-winning columnist from ArizonaCentral.com, exactly when can we get the coach and the GM on the same page? This is the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR, and we are brought to you by the one, the only Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School in Chandler Heights, out in Chandler, Arizona, 4991 South Alma School, to be exact. Get in there, let them know PLR sent you, 10% off your cigar purchase. That is Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, now serving beer and wine. You can become a club member, get a locker that backs directly up to a humidor. Never worry about your sticks going bad. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. They are showing these NBA playoffs, many televisions in there. There is not a better place to watch your NBA action other than Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Again, here on Alma School in Chandler Heights, 4991 South Alma School. Like I said, let them know PLR from the Cave Show sent you. Get 10% off your cigar purchase. A couple restrictions, hardly any, but check it out. They'll let you know when you get down there. Welcome to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Big day today coming up. About 10 minutes after the hour, we have Greg Moore, like I said, award-winning columnist for AZCentral.com. He'll be joining us, along with Leah Alicia of Bella Engagement and Auto Nerd Media. She's going to be joining us as well. She's a publicist, public relations coach, photographer, writer, does a little bit of everything, and she's going to break down road racing, off-road racing. So should be fun. So we'll get into that as well. All calls made via the Carrie Lackey Law line. That call-in number is 917-889-7828. Remember, with Carrie Lackey, a good defense is always a good offense. Do have a caller online. I'm going to try to squeeze in as many calls as I can before we get the guest on today. Like I said, that number is 917-889-7828. Do have a caller on hold. Thank you for your patience. You are the Cave Show with PLR. To whom do I have the privilege of speaking with?
Hey, Paul, it's Lou once again.
Lou, what's up, buddy? How are you?
All right. Well, now, do we have a series or not?
Yeah, we got a series, and I know you're talking about Houston going to state, but there still hasn't been a road victory yet. They both protect the home. I'm waiting for that road victory.
So in other words, you think we have a rivalry, but then again, no. So you're kind of like iffy.
You know why I'm iffy, Lou? Because I saw Houston up by 17 points, shooting threes instead of twos to seal a game. I saw them let Golden State get back in the game, and I saw them give Kevin Durant and Steph Curry chances to tie it and go into overtime. I don't believe they have enough. That's at home. So they're going to have to play perfect. We're watching Steph and Klay in slumps, and Houston's winning by three. I just don't believe they're going to stay in slumps. And I believe when they come out, that's a wrap. Maybe it's me, but I still have more faith in Golden State winning the series than any other team except for Milwaukee, who I have a big apology coming to a little bit later. winning any other series. I just Houston hasn't shown me that they can win this series. They showed me that they can protect home court with everything going their way, but they haven't shown me that they can win this series.
Hmm. All right, so maybe by game five you'll be convinced, which is going to be tomorrow.
If they, Lou, I will tell you this. On Thursday, if they win this series, and on Thursday you're on the line, I will say I was 100% wrong. This is a series, and I should have never doubted you from the beginning. I'll put all that in it.
Okay, I'll accept your apology.
You sound like my wife. I haven't given the apology yet.
Sounds like my girlfriend. Oh. Eek. All right. On to a more serious note. I think the Buccaneers are in trouble. Jason Pierre-Paul could be out for the year.
Let me ask you this: yeah. Is he really the linchpin that serves the drink, though?
Yeah, I think it is.
Okay, it's fair. See, and I think it's bad, and he's going to hurt that defense if he's not there.
Yeah.
But I think it all comes down to one guy still. Do we get mature Jameis Winston who can handle business on and off the field?
Jason Pierre-Paul, not Jameis Winston. Jason Pierre-Paul.
No, I'm saying the stir that the straw that stirs the drink, though. I'm saying I know it'll suck if he's out, but to me it's still with that game. So it comes down to one person. If Jameis plays, they can get over it. If Jameis is an idiot, then they can't get over missing JPP.
Right. I mean, JPP, first with the fireworks incident and other things, now this. I mean, it just doesn't end for him.
Which is sad because, I mean, he has a fractured neck. I mean,
yeah.
I look at it like in two ways. One, just the standard of living with this guy at this point. You know what I mean? So let's get him well.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, he was on our side, once, and now he's went down to Tampa Bay. So, and it hasn't improved much for him, though.
Now, I haven't heard too much. Maybe you can tell me. I know it was one car accident. Did they really say anything about what may have caused it or what the hopefully there was no alcohol or nothing like that involved.
No, I don't think there was.
Okay.
Well, the accident happened last week, so maybe other information might have come out later. So.
Yeah, that's too bad. I feel for him as a human more than anything.
I know. I mean, it's what he's been through. He lost it. With the fireworks incident and everything, and now this. It doesn't. It's like a chain reaction of bad instances happening.
Yeah, and he did a great job of fighting his way back from that hand injury.
Yeah, he did.
A lot of guys would have just called it quits, and he would not accept it. He fought back. So I think if there's anything that he can do to fight back, this man has proven that he's a fighter and he is never going to give up.
And of course, we have one series all decided as the Bruins are going to the Eastern Conference Finals.
And I know living in New York, you are a huge Boston fan, right?
Never. It's only adding insult to injury, Paul. That's all it is.
No, I hear you.
There are rumors about maybe with the trades between the Rangers and the Jets maybe happening. But it's still too early to tell.
Let me ask you a question before I have to jump on you. Don Cherry absolutely hates the antics by the Carolina Hurricanes. Give me your thoughts on those antics. Do you find them funny? I find them funny. Or do you find them as reprehensible as Don Cherry does?
Cherry is an old man. I mean, he doesn't get today's modern game at all. He's a little geezer. I mean, well respected as a player back in his day, but I don't think he understands how the game has changed. With that. He's 120 years old?
I don't know if he's quite that old, but he's old.
He's old
and
enough.
I, I'm with you. I think they're fun. I think it's funny. I don't find it disrespectful at all. I think it's funny.
Well, like an example, like what kind of antics are we mentioning?
Well, when they line up at the end of games after they win, they did like the
big deal.
Yeah, the 3-point shootout and the slam dunk, and they did bowling and they did all that crazy stuff to just kind of lighten it up and have fun.
Nothing wrong with that.
I didn't think
you
so.
See, but the old timers just don't get it. They think it's just for being, you know, trying to have a comic effect on it. All right, so it is, but so what? It makes it more enjoyable.
I'm with you, because you know what?
Honestly, Jerry's an old geezer.
I've watched them, just because I saw their antics. And I'm not gonna say a lie to you. Sometimes if a team that I'm not interested in hockey is playing, I kind of lose them a little bit just because, I mean, I live in Arizona. And I cover Arizona sports. Why would I watch the Carolina Hurricanes play? They're not the Blackhawks. They're not the city I'm from. They're not the Coyotes, the city that I live in. They're not, you know, one of the marquee big original six teams.
Right.
So I would lose interest if you tell me Carolina's playing. But because of their ability to have fun, I find it entertaining.
Yeah. But
so,
are we considering them the Harlem Globetrotters of the NHL?
No. But they play hockey. And seriously, the Harlem Globetrotters are great basketball players, but it's not they're not playing the same team over and over. They're just having fun. And that's what I find interesting about them. They're just having fun, but they're playing. They're putting in the work. They're advancing. They're doing a good job.
Yeah, but let's see how far they're ever going to get in the playoffs, because they haven't done it, you know, in a long time.
Yeah, very true.
They were once upon a time the original, I think they were the original Winnipeg Jets.
Yes. No, I thought they came here. I thought the Winnipeg Jets became the Coyotes. Am I not mistaken?
Well, I'm talking about back when Winnipeg first left.
Oh, gotcha. Yep. Okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And then because Quebec became the Colorado Avalanche.
Yes. The old Quebec Nordiques, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Yes, Montreal's favorite rival.
Yep. Well, look, my friend, I have the scheduled guest call in.
All right.
So, hey, I appreciate you as usual. And like I said, I owe you an apology in 2 days if it comes to fruition.
All right. And if you can, try to call my Chevy can. I think you're 2 hours behind me.
Okay. If you call in tomorrow, I get you to give all the information.
I will do that.
All right, that way the listeners can have everything from you.
All right. Thank you, Paul.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later. Always good. Good friend of the program. Always good to catch up with him. Online now, I have the man himself, Greg Moore, award-winning columnist for azcentral.com. He is everywhere. This guy is everywhere. He is on the news. He's on Channel 15. He's on anyone who needs to know where he is, just turn on TV, and he's right there. Actually, you know what? Except he's not right here because we dropped the call. So apologize to you. I'm sure he'll give a call right back. But yes, in terms of hockey, I think the Hurricanes are fun to watch. I think they're fun. But again, what do I know? Not a hockey guy. Like I said, coming up on the show, once we get Greg back loaded up, we'll have him on. And then don't forget, we have Leah Alicia giving a call in as well. That's about 30 minutes after the hour. So I said it. I'm going to do it now while we have a second. I owe the Milwaukee Bucks an apology. Yeah. Damn it, I said it. I owe them an apology. I didn't think them, with their upstart new team with experience, without guys like Middleton and other guys having to play in meaningful games, I just didn't think they would be able to do it. Well, I was 100% wrong. Bucks, I owe you an apology. Boston, this is your fault. This is I never rooted for you in the '80s. On the Kerry Lackey Law line right now, the one only Greg Moore. Greg, what's going on, buddy? Having a hard time getting that connection, folks. I do apologize. Yeah, this is Boston. That's why I didn't root for you in the '80s. That's why I rooted for Philadelphia. That's why I rooted for the Lakers. When I needed you to lose, you were winning. I needed you to win to prove me right. Now, all of a sudden, you want to choke up. You are killing me. Absolutely, positively killing me. Kyrie Irving, you are one of the best players in the NBA. You're one of my favorite players to watch. But are you a leader of a team? And what we're finding out is we saw this in a regular season, and I'm one of the people that said, well, when the playoffs start, everyone will get in gear. Everything will fall into place. They beat up on Indiana. I was like, okay, well, fine. Makes sense. They beat up on Indiana. The sweep, kind of tough, but wasn't really tough. Knew once they got to Indiana, they played better. But what happened? You came out game one. You did what you needed to do. You ran Milwaukee off the three-point line. You built a beautiful wall around Giannis. He couldn't get through. Shot 7 of 21. And since then, you're now relegated to complaining about fouls, complaining about this. Kyrie is shooting terribly, talking about you should shoot more. You got Marcus Smart back. That didn't really make the difference that you thought. It makes you wonder, did we see Kyrie in a Boston uniform for the last time at home in Boston? Does Boston have what it takes to force a game six back in Boston? Now that Milwaukee's rolling, see, the problem now is Milwaukee knows they can beat you. See, going into the series, they thought they could beat you. After game one, they said, well, if we do this, we can beat you. Then they beat you in game two, and they're like, yeah, we can get them, but we got to get to Boston. Then they beat you in game three, and they're like, yeah, we can do this. We really can do this. And now that they beat you in game four, their confidence level is soaring. They're looking at you like an irritating fly now that they're ready to prick off and move on to the conference finals. And I thought Boston would be the perfect team to challenge them, because if Philly survives Toronto, and that's a big if, and we have time today, we're going to definitely talk about that. Philly's bench sucks. They don't have the firepower to keep up with Milwaukee. So once Milwaukee disposes of Boston, and unless Toronto, if they get by Philly, if Siakam can play, if Kyle Lowry can find consistency in the playoffs, two words he never has an opportunity to allow them to meet each other, consistency in playoffs, then that's going to be a good series. Because no one in Boston has proven that they can do enough to keep up with what's going on with the Milwaukee Bucks. So I don't know. Online right now, Greg Moore, award-winning columnist, AZ Central. I don't know if you heard me, but I just finished apologizing to the Bucks because I said they would be out in six, and they have proven me dead wrong.
Well, listen, man, it's not your fault. The one time you got an up-close personal look at the Bucks, the Phoenix Suns handed them their lunch. I can't remember all of the specifics of that day because I'm still lost in the haze of the reality that the Phoenix Suns won 19 games and one of them was against the best doggone team in the NBA. So, yeah, man, no one can blame you for having predicted that.
Yeah, I was off. You know what? Boston built that wall around Giannis in game one and got to those three-point shooters, played unselfishly. And I was like, see, this is what I'm talking about. This is the Boston team that I've been waiting for. And since then, man, Giannis and those fellas, Bledsoe and Middleton, especially Middleton, they've been just stealing their lunch money. And they, you know what? They're stealing Boston's lunch money, buying their lunch and making Boston sit at the table and watch them eat.
Man, you a wild boy for that one, Paul. I like that, though. I might have to steal a piece of that from my game, and that's all right. They're going to make them watch them eat it. Listen, I think what we're underestimating with Milwaukee is so they came together, it seems, kind of quickly. They took a big step up, it seems, kind of quickly. Like, we've been hearing this bubbling about this kid Giannis, and we've seen some things, but I don't think anybody reasonably believed that he would be able to become this kind of catalyst where he's got the ball in his hands, you know, as much as anybody in the NBA. He doesn't have to share like Kevin Durant does. He doesn't even have to share like James Harden does when Chris Paul is healthy. He's been able to find his way to the hoop. He's been able to have an effective enough jump shot to make people kind of honor that. And then we forget the reality that Eric Bledsoe has at times in his career played like an all-star. We forget sometimes that Chris Middleton is an all-star, right? And so I think that, yeah, man, Mike Budenholzer, this is his second franchise now that we've really seen that, hey, man, this guy really knows how to coach an NBA team. Of course, he came up in the Spurs system. So he's going to be able to X and O his way out of anything. And I think really that Boston is dealing with some of the doubt that they kind of came into the season with, right? So we saw some Boston guys trying to get over injuries. We've seen now Marcus Smart being out with an injury. We're recognizing that he maybe was more important to that team than we recognize. We've seen Gordon Hayward try to reintegrate himself to the lineup, and we've seen up and down play from the Boston Celtics. And I think when that happens, you know me, man, I like to think about the mind side of it as much as I think of the statistical side of it. And so right now I'm wondering if the Boston Celtics aren't beginning to doubt themselves. I'm wondering if they aren't beginning to wonder, hey, maybe we aren't that good. Maybe we weren't constructed that well. And listen, man, when you're down 3-1, clearly you've got reason for doubt moving forward, but I wonder if it wasn't the doubt in their minds from the up-and-down regular season that played into the fact that they're in this situation more so than scheme, more so than personnel, more so than anything else. That's what I wonder when I think about it.
I hear you, man. Like I said, I apologize to everyone. I said that Brad Stevens was a better coach than Budenholzer. I owe him an apology. Look, next time Milwaukee's in town, I'm buying Sprites for everybody because I apologize. Honey, Kerry Lackey, Law Line, right now in the Cave Show, PLR, the one only award columnist, Greg Moore. Greg, I got another basketball question, but I want to ask you football real quick. So this has been bugging me, and I know no one is as plugged into the Cardinals as you are. I heard an interview last week, and Steve Keim said, without a doubt, Kyler Murray's our starter day one. Oh, yeah, he's our starter. And that same day, I heard the head coach say, yeah, we don't know who our starter is right now. Brett Hundley's done a lot of good stuff with us as well. He's going to do a lot of good stuff, and we're going to play it out and see who starts. Okay. Shouldn't the coach and the GM be on the same page before they give interviews?
So I didn't write about this, but my man Ray Gene Moore is like my country cousin who gets kind of riled up and gets kind of angry. Ray Gene. No, he's a good dude, man. He's a good dude. I'm like, you know, this city guy, and I'm like, well, you know, let's find the middle. Let's think about it. But Ray Gene is like black and white. He's like, look, man, it is or it ain't, right? Like, that's Ray Gene. So
right.
Ray Gene wrote about this in the Arizona Republic. And listen, man, his take was that Time and Cliff Kingsbury should have chatted this out ahead of time. They should have kind of come to a consensus on what the message was going to be. Now, what the message I think ought to be is, right, of course there's going to be an open competition. Now, I said this to Kent Summers in a video on AZ Central. I don't think anybody should be handed anything, like in life, unless like you're a baby and you're being handed a bottle. I think at a certain point you should have to earn and fight and take the things that you deserve. Now, I'm not talking about like a physical scrap or whatever, but what I'm saying is if you went to some fancy pants school and the guy over there didn't, I don't think that should matter in how you're able to do the job. You should have an opportunity to show how you can do the job, and what school you went to shouldn't factor in to whether you should have that opportunity. I don't think that your draft position should factor in to whether or not you receive playing time. So if you're taken number one, I don't think that guarantees you a doggone thing other than a look. I think that you performed well enough during your apprenticeship in college that you deserve consideration, that you deserve to be paid attention to, that you maybe even deserve the benefit of the doubt. Well, if it's 50-50, let's give it to this other guy. But listen, man, there are nothing but alphas in an NFL locker room. And you walk up in that locker room, you better be able to deal with that environment. And if you are kicking somebody's tail on the practice field, and then you go into that locker room and somebody else gets the job, that's going to be a huge problem. So what I think they should have said was, hey, guys, it's an open competition. Clearly we selected Kyler because we're in love with his skill set. We're in love with what we think he can do for this team, and we're going to give him every opportunity to show and prove. But, yo, if Brett Hundley comes out and he lights the world on fire and he looks as good as when he was a prep out here in Phoenix before going out to UCLA, before going off to Green Bay, if he looks that good, you better believe he's going to be on the field. But with that said, it would be pretty disappointing if Kyler's not the guy, because that's why we took him there. That's what I would have wanted to hear. But you know what I want more than any of that, man?
What's that?
I just want these guys to just say what's on their mind, right? Say it. Whatever it is, just say it. And let, you know, whatever comes from that, just let it come. Don't doctor it. Don't tell people what you think they want to hear. Don't try to play that game. Say what's on your mind and stand on it.
On the Kerry Lackey Law Line here on the Cave Show with PLR, the one and only Greg Moore, who was so eloquent in what he said. And I'm going to go ahead and translate that a little bit because I know what he said. But I'm going to say this. You know damn well Kyler Murray's starting. They didn't bring Brett Hundley in to run this team. They brought him in to run the second team and possibly start if something happens. They changed coaches. They're changing philosophies. They're changing. They may as well just put a picture of Kyler Murray up at the practice facility right where they got the Cardinals helmet at. This is his team. He's starting. And I love it when they say it's going to be an open competition. The best guy's going to start. Man, please. Kyler Murray starting.
I got to tell you, I feel you on that. I do. But I must believe that there is a quality somewhere in this world. I must believe that there is fairness somewhere in this world. And if someone outperforms someone else, I must believe that in the sporting arena, that is a place where that can play itself out, where the best athlete gets the opportunity to do it on the field. And I feel you. I hear you. I understand you. But I've got to believe it in my heart that if Brett Hundley shows something that nobody saw, that he's going to get that opportunity. Now, look, I'm not trying to create a quarterback controversy. I'm trying to say that goes for any position on any field, on any team, in any athletic endeavor. May the best person for that job get the opportunity to do that job regardless of draft position, regardless of contract status, regardless of school affiliation, I just want that to be true, and I want to hear that from the coaches. And I just said they got to say what's on their mind. But that would be what was on my mind if I were either in Keim or Kingsbury's position. But, Joe, my man Ray Gene Moore also wrote something else. He wrote about boxing. My man Ray Gene has strong feelings about the Arizona Sports Hall of Fame. Now, I want to hear from you, Paul, on this.
Well, hold on
who
one
goes
second.
Into the, yeah.
Hold on one second. Before you give me that, I got someone who wants to give you a piece of their mind. And that's our
right.
that's our friend from Fox Sports 10, the one and only Rich Collins. Rich, you got us both, bro. The floor is yours.
My
what's
dog,
up,
Rich, what's up?
Hey, Paul, these are good problems to have, huh? When you got both Greg and Rich on the line. So let me jump in for a second.
Right. Well, jump in.
Tag team.
Well, hey, you know what? And I'm calling because I'm going to back up Greg on what he was talking about boxing and the Arizona Sports Hall of Fame. You know, it's funny that I had something that I'm pretty passionate about, and I was lucky enough to talk to Greg about it a couple of days ago about the Arizona Sports Hall of Fame. Did you know there's not one boxer in the Arizona Sports Hall of Fame, and more importantly, the Michael Carbajal from Phoenix, Arizona, pound for pound, the best fighter in the world, fighter of the year at one point in his career, is not in the Hall of Fame. So we're trying
to
get the word out and let people know that this needs to change. We need to get this man in the Hall of Fame where he deserves to be. Greg, what do you
this
think, man?
This is a huge – no, Rich, you couldn't have said it better. Thank you, man. This is a huge, huge problem. Now, listen, Paul, if a guy like Richard Sines is on board with this, we need to stop what we're doing and pay all due attention and respect. This man has been doing his thing in this town for a long time, and we need to pay attention to that perspective because it means a lot. But Carbajal is in a huge – and I do mean huge fight. There's three fighters who could go into the Hall of Fame this year. Now, I'm going to take Curly Culp off the table because Curly Culp was an NFL Hall of Famer. He's in the Arizona Sports Hall of Fame. He also was a wrestler. I don't consider him to be a fighter. I consider him to be a football player or a two-sport athlete. There are no fighters in the Arizona Sports Hall of Fame, and this year there are three on the ballot. The one and only Michael Carbajal, Muhammad Ali, and Cain Velasquez. So let's do these in reverse order of what I just said. Cain Velasquez was from Yuma, Arizona, All-American wrestler at Arizona State, and the greatest heavyweight champion in the history of the UFC. And I respect and love all of that, and he should go in after Michael Carbajal. Muhammad Ali, the greatest. Changed the world. There's a documentary coming out about him in a couple of weeks. I've got the opportunity to screen that ahead of time. I'll be writing about it for the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Muhammad Ali should wait behind Michael Carbajal for this opportunity. Muhammad Ali is the greatest, and I really respect and appreciate everything that he did in the world of boxing and every accolade he's received. He is due. But in this state and in this town, and in that sport, Michael Carbajal really deserves more credit than he's gotten. As Rich said, he's in the International Boxing Hall of Fame. Why is he not in his home state's Hall of Fame? He still trains at the gym.
You're right.
Yeah. Hey, Rich.
Yeah, he's in the Nevada Hall of Fame. You know, and one of the requirements that they have is, you know, you got to be excellent and do something that's outstanding in your sport. Well, this guy's a five-time world champion. He was the Ring Magazine Fighter of the Year. He won the Fight of the Year with Chiquita Gonzalez. And they also want somebody that's from here. This guy was born here. He didn't just come here and he was born here. He was born in South Phoenix. He grew up there. And he stayed there. He didn't make money and quit.
Right.
He didn't say, hey, I'm going to go, you know, go live in the nice part of town. He stayed there. And another requirement that they have is, you know, somebody that does something for the community. And I think that's one thing he's doing right now. I mean, he's got his nice
big
gym. He's got kids fighting there. And he trains them all with the same passion, whether he thinks they're going to be a champion in the ring or not, because he wants them to be champions in life. And I think that's what a Hall of Famer is all about.
You know what, Rich? If I can piggyback off that, I went to Phoenix High School, Metro Tech, and I was getting ready to talk to some students, and I asked the teacher who was bringing me in to talk to the students, what was the student body like, what were they interested in,
And I found out that these were kids who have a really similar background to Michael Carbajal. And would you believe I was able to call him, and I was able to call his former sparring partner and former world champion, Ray Beltran, and both of those guys stopped what they were doing, came into that school for free to talk to these kids,
wow,
motivate these kids, and share their stories. Michael Carbajal was there for 2 hours for not $1. And those kids got to see him and touch him and be around him. And if that doesn't mean he's doing something for the community, I don't know what does. Right? Hey, shit.
Yeah.
We were talking
exactly
about
right.
this, too. What was the first time that you knew what Phoenix was?
Yeah, exactly. I was in Texas. I was a kid. I was a boxing fan. And I see him in the Olympics. I'm like, Phoenix, Arizona. He put Phoenix on the map for me. This is before, you know, Barkley came to town and they went to the finals. This guy was, this is, you know, 1988. And I'm looking, I'm going, wow, okay, Phoenix, Arizona. Okay, I see you, Phoenix. I see Carbajal. And, you know, and he put on a show. He represented not only his country, but Phoenix, Arizona. And, you know, if you're out there and you're listening to this and you're thinking, hey, you know what, how can I vote? Well, the public can vote one person in. So the public can get in his corner, so to speak. You mentioned he's in a fight. He actually needs somebody in his corner. And that's what where Greg and I are in. And we'll get, now, Paul, hopefully you're in. And there's a link on my website, on my Facebook page. You know, there's a, I put a link on my Twitter, rsignsfox10. You just click on the link. You, it says vote here. You click on that, Booker's name. Click on his name and you submit your vote. So if anybody out there believes in what we're talking about, I would encourage you to vote because we got a month to do it. And I think it would be a nice thing to see him get into the Hall of Fame.
I'm
yeah,
on board
sure.
with you. Rich, give him that information for you one more time, please.
Sure, sure. I got a link to the Arizona Hall of Fame website where you can vote. It's on my Facebook page, Richard Saenz, S-A-E-N-Z. My Twitter is rsaenz, S-A-E-N-Z, Fox10. Just go on, you know, my Twitter. I tweeted it out a couple of days ago that I voted for him. Who's with me? So let's get in his corner and vote for him. The public can vote one guy in, and I think if we get enough votes, we'll get him in. Not this time, but sooner than later. And you know what?
You know what, Rich?
To... Go ahead.
As you say that, Rich, you know, I think I ought to tweet the same thing, and then pin that
Please.
To the top of my page so that if anybody goes to Writing More at Writing More. At Twitter, they'll be able to see that. Dude, that's a great idea, man. And I got to thinking about being a little kid myself. I was in small town Indiana, and I only really knew two places. I really only knew the Midwest and the Deep South, right? That's really all I knew.
Right.
And then all of a sudden I hear about this Manitas de Piedra, and I'm like, yo, what's that? Yo, they speak
Spanish?
That's
a little
Spanish?
Hand of stone, baby.
Right. They
that's
speak Spanish
stone.
In America? Yo, tell
yeah.
me more. You see what I'm saying? Like, I didn't know any of this until Michael Carbajal made me aware of this by being one of the guys on one of the greatest Olympic boxing teams of all time. Roy Jones Jr. was on that team. Who
you know what
we have? Ray Mercer was on that team. Riddick
you know,
Bowe.
You know,
I'm sorry. Go
day,
ahead, guys.
Back in
you
the
know,
day when you thought of, you know, the pound-for-pound guy, you would think of the heavyweight. He was the first little guy. He changed the sport. Where
yeah, he did.
108-pound guys. Sam put on a show. Him and Chiquita Gonzalez were the first flyweights to ever get a $1 million purse. I mean, we had ABC National fights here in Phoenix broadcasting back in the 80s because of a guy that was 108 pounds.
Think about
yeah,
that,
no,
man. I've got Charles Barkley and Dan Marley on the record talking about that fight. I've got Bob Arum on the record talking about that fight. I just need everybody listening to just stop and go back in time and think about what Rich just said. A 108-pound dude is dominating the world by showing you that he's the toughest guy around, that he's got some skills, he's a counterpuncher, he's going to be able to stand in and trade, he's going to get knocked on his butt twice and get up and then come back
yeah.
to win that fight by stoppage. I don't know if there's anything better about being a champion than getting knocked down and being able to get back up. Rich, man, thank you so much for making me think of that, man.
You're
that.
Welcome. And another thing, you know, we talked about Ali, and he does some great things here with his fight night. you know, when Fight Night first started, Michael Carmichael was one of the first ones to help out with that. He actually put on a boxing exhibition and, like, got in the ring with Marley and did some stuff to help that thing get going and get to what it is today. So he's been helping out the community way back then for years and years. And, you know, that's another requirement that they want. And I just think he checks all the boxes. And, yes, you know, it's past due. We're not here to make anybody look bad and say, why hasn't it been done? We're just saying make it right. Make it right. Do the right thing and vote for this guy. And let's get him in.
Hey,
that's
you know
right.
what? It,
must,
it must be it must be an important topic because not only do I have Greg Moore on, I have Richard Sines on Fox 10, and if they're behind this and they know sports, they definitely know sports. And I remember actually watching Carbajal fight because I didn't used to like watching little fighters, and he's the first one that made me actually go down under welterweight. And Hands of Stones was no joke, man. He put you to sleep. He put you to sleep. Hey, look,
yeah.
Let me tell you how fast he put you to sleep. He put you to sleep quicker than someone talking about Brett Hundley should be the starting quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals.
Hey, I gotta give both of you guys. I gotta give both of you guys the analogy today, man. First of all, your cousin comment, that was really good because I got a cousin that like that. When people say, hey, I met your cousin Marco, I just say, I apologize right away. So I know that kind of cousin. And you with the lunch, stealing the lunch. You know, that reminds me of that scene from life. They eat your cornbread. That's what happened in the Celtics that night. They're getting their cornbread taken from them.
Hey, gentlemen. Hey, listen. I'm crushed for time, but I have a question for you. If I can get both of you on at the same time again, maybe early next week, so that way we can put our voice behind more time and get more people to recognize that and get a vote in for Michael Carbajal. That would be cool.
I'm happy to do it, man. Anytime Rich is available, I'm available. I don't care what I'm doing. I'll make myself free.
See, name popping is beautiful. So you know what? Since he popped all those big names, I'm going to say this. Yeah, well, I have lunch with Rich and Mr. Cooper, the OG himself, and Brad Ass. So how about that, Mr. Writing Moore?
I'll take it, man. I'll take it. Bruce Cooper needs to have me on that show, though. I know that.
Gentlemen, let's go over here.
The best part, we had Coop pay for it.
Yeah, that was the best part. Great lesson in Coop pay. Rich, tell everyone how they can get a hold of you one more time, how they can find how to vote for Mr. Carbajal.
Yeah. One of the things I'm going to do, Paul, is I'm going to send you the link so you can post it as well. But it's on my Facebook page, Richard Sines, S-A-E-N-Z. My Twitter is R Sines, S-A-E-N-Z, Fox 10. So I put a link on my Twitter, and I put one on even my Instagram, too, R Sines, Fox 10 as well.
All right, brother. I appreciate it. We'll catch up next week. Get a voice behind this.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
All right, thank you. Greg, give everyone your info. Just jump. Give everyone your info.
Oh, yeah. I'm easy to find. AZ Central Sports. You can find me at Writing More, WRITING More, MOORE. Writing More on Twitter, Writing More on Instagram. You can find me on AZ Central Sports, the homepage. You can also read me in the Arizona Republic. But, yo, where there is sports happening, you can expect me to pop up and just be nosing around and asking questions. That's what I do. I just hang out, ask questions, and hope to learn a little something.
Yo, appreciate you. And let's do this next week. Three of us all get together.
Always, man. Holler at me. I'm around.
All right, now. Talk to you soon.
All right, brother.
All right, that's my man. How often do you get, not only do you get Moron, but you get Fox 10 Sports anchor? He's everywhere. You see him on TV every night. Richard Sines to call in as well. I told him 15 minutes. They gave me more time, so I appreciate it. It's nice to be able to drop every now and then. But now I'm about to drop a brand name to the Cave Show with LR on you right now. You always think Cave Show, you think Sports Cave, you think basketball, baseball, football, a little bit of hockey, a little bit of tennis, a little bit of this and that. But we do everything, and we believe in expanding into everything. And one of the things I definitely want to get into, know more about, is off-road and racing and the fact that the popularity of the sport. Kids that do this and how they turn into these popular names and these popular figures that watch on ESPN or Fox or NBC, and who better to bring on than an expert in this field who's to be joining us more as time goes on to break this down for us. Other than the lady herself, the one who knows more about this than anyone would, Miss Leah Ali. She's a publicist, automotive content creator, public relations coach, a photographer, a writer. I think she says she does about everything other than will the cars out there off-road. Welcome to the Cave Show with PR. Thank you for joining me today.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. Thank you for having me on the show today.
Thank you for coming. Sorry about the wait. We got going. I just used going as definition three times.
It's actually pretty cool that I got to hear that part of the show because growing up, my dad was a huge boxing fan, and so boxing was actually a really big part of our household. So it was kind of cool to, you know, hear and reminisce about that old times back in the day. So boxing isn't like that anymore, is it?
No, and I'm careful with using phrases like old time, back in the day, as I continue to write. I already got my sons calling old. So old time, let's just say the classic fighters. That way it doesn't make us feel quite so, you know. So
that way you don't feel like you're over 40, right?
No, because I get reminded. My body reminds me every day I'm over 40. So the fewer the reminders, the better. But I want you to introduce yourself to the Cave Show. Tell everybody a little bit about, you know, introductions are great, but it doesn't tell what you do. Please share with us exactly what you're doing and who you sponsor and who I crop out of photos when I'm making sure I get your photo up.
Sounds good. So what I do, I've been working in, well, I'd say the automotive industry. I've worked in with bands, I even have a wood carver as a client. So I definitely work in a variety of entities, but one of my passions is definitely automotive. And one thing that I've kind of fallen into is doing PR and marketing for off-road racing for the last 5 years. I've done everything from the International Off-Road and UTV Expo to as little as youth racers in the Lucas Oil Short Course Series. So that's what I do and what I'm very passionate about.
And let me ask this, because we were talking a little bit earlier today, and I just kind of hinted towards it. There's a young racer you talked about that you worked with when he was young. He's come up. He's doing really well. He was on the picture with you. And maybe you could talk about a little bit what you did with him and that situation.
Yeah, we got to give him a little bit of love because we did cut him out of the picture. So his name is Daly Pentico. He was a little hurt that we cut him out, but sorry, Daly. Love you, dude. But, yeah, I've been watching him probably since he was, I'd say, about 15 years old-ish. And he has grown into a Pro 2 truck and races Lucas Oil, which is pretty cool. And he's going to be 20, I think, actually, like, in a couple weeks, he's going to be 20 years old. So he just got a sponsorship with Amsoil, so I just wrote a press release for him about that. Super excited to see where he's going to go and grow into. And I know he's doing marketing and stuff like that now, so it's cool to see him as he's grown, you know, over the years and graduated high school. So,
how did you get into this?
I kind of fell into it, into the off-road portion of it. I had done some PR and marketing in other realms, and I had a buddy get a hold of me that was also racing for Lucas Oil Short Course. And he was racing the SR1 series and said, hey, I need a proposal. I need a hero card. I need, you know, all these things. Help me. And so I came on board and got him, you know, some of that stuff done and some exposure and to help him along. He definitely had a little bit of exposure himself, so it kind of added to it, which is great to have some sort of foundation. And then one thing kind of led to another. Another person heard what I was doing. You know, I ended up working with Andy Myers at the International Off-Road Expo and have been his publicist for the last 4 years.
That is cool.
So, yeah. So that Off-Road Expo that you see in December, that's the show.
So I'm going to tell you the story, and if you laugh, no, it's at my expense because I did. So I decided one day that I wanted to do some off-roading myself, and I was with my boys down in Santo Domingo. And so I get there, and it's the last day there, and I decide I want to go four-wheeling, and they look at me, and, you know, we're all from Chicago, and one of our guys is from Detroit, and I go, are you guys going to do this with me? And they all looked at me like I was out of my mind. Dude, you've been in Arizona far too long. So no, we're not going off-roading with you. You're on your own. So I get there, and they give me a helmet, but I have dreadlocks. So the helmet that they gave me, I fit in my dreadlocks. So instead of a helmet, I used a bandana. And then I put on a pair of sunglasses. So I'm safe as you can get. So on our way to off-roading, which I thought was starting right today, the tour guide said everyone else decided not to do it, so it's me and you. So we have to go get gas. So I'm running down the streets in Santo Domingo wearing a bandana and glasses with cars whizzing by us doing about 70 miles per hour while we're riding to the gas station to fill up. And then he took us through, or took me rather, through off-roading, which went through cows, bulls, sheep, mud, and kids that were hungry, begging for money. That was my first time on an off-road, not being a Jeep or anything, off-roading. And it was
It a side-by-side, like a UTV?
It was a four-wheeler.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, and he just went, and I had to just follow him. He looked back maybe once every 5 minutes as he's going through bulls, and my mind is thinking, every bull I've seen attack people. Why are we riding through like a bull family? And as we did it, though, honestly, it was a thrill, and I can see where why you love this book.
That adrenaline, yeah.
It was so much fun.
Oh my gosh, you got to get yourself an experience at the Baja 1000. You think that was an experience?
I'm in.
Somebody
I'm
needs
in,
to get you in a chase truck.
As long as I'm in a helmet and glasses, I'm not going to do the bandana anymore. At the time, I was single, no kids.
Please
so,
don't.
Yeah, you know, young. Well, I wasn't young.
Safety is
in.
Actually a very, very big topic in off-road racing. During the driver's meetings, during the practices, working with the youth program, that's also another huge part of off-road racing. I mean, we could go in all day long about the safeties and the stories and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, I'm in. So I'll tell you what, next time there's an event, before I jump behind the wheel again, we definitely want to get out there and check it out and watch some of the racing and watch what you do, because it sounds so much fun. And a good thing now is it's not the old days where people are pigeonholed to, you know, being a basketball, football, baseball player. There's so many other ways you can show your athletic ability and do so many other things. And I think it's cool that this is one of the things that you do and show kids, especially coming up at a young age, that you know, not everyone is going to be 6'7" and fast or 400 pounds and athletic, or can hit a baseball 900 feet. So I think it's cool that you're doing this and getting kids started at a young age, knowing the safety, knowing how to do all this stuff. So I appreciate what you do for kids out there.
Thank you. And I hope to continue doing it for sure.
Well, I want you to tell everyone how they can follow you, how they can get a hold of you. And you've made the mistake now. You've come into onto the Cave Show. You've become part of the family. So now that means I now have the right to bug you whenever and say I want you on the show whenever. And one day I'm sure
you'll
be just like our buddy Rich Sines from Fox 10 just says, hey, here's a text, man. I'm on hold. Put me on the air. So I'm sure one day we'll have you doing that as well.
Yeah, and I'd love to eventually bring on some clients that I've worked with in the past or currently working with, and if anybody has questions or would like to, you know, ask them questions, we can definitely work that out too, because obviously I'm in the business of exposure, so.
Well, let's do it. I'm all in. So let's make it happen.
And then you can get a hold of me at Leah Alicia, which my name is spelled a little funky. So it's L-H-E-A. Alicia is A-L-I-S-H-A. And basically you could even Google that and find me there or reach me at Auto Nerd Media. I'm on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and then also Bella Engagements. So there's a few ways that you can contact me.
Hey, I appreciate you coming on, being a first timer. Big important question.
I appreciate the invite.
Before I let you go, I just want to know, did anyone take your stapler? Or do you still have that?
I'm sorry, what's that?
Did anyone take your stapler? I know you said you're an office fan. Or are you still?
Nobody's taking my stapler yet.
All right, cool.
I am sitting outside, though, in my outside office right now, trying to enjoy this nice weather that we got in today.
It
Isn't that
is
beautiful
absolutely.
Rain? I was like, where did that come from? Now it's all sunny and shiny.
Well, you know what? The rain was a tease. Just letting us know it will be gone and we'll be at 172 degrees every day very shortly.
I agree.
So,
well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And we'll be talking soon. Like I said, you'll get someone else on and with you, and we'll ask questions and we'll get more into this because I'm really intrigued and I really want to be part of this.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you wanting to, because it's not very often that motorsports gets the kind of love that it deserves, just as any other sport. So I appreciate you seeing that.
Good deal. We'll talk soon.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. All right, take care. So that was Leah Alicia. She gave you all of her stuff, Auto Nerd Media, Bella Engagements, all that good stuff. So follow her. Check it out. A lot of good stuff. We're going to do a little bit of everything. We are not pigeonholed here on The Cave Show. You can't put baby in a box. I didn't even like that movie. Don't know why I just said that at all. A couple quick notes before we jump out of here. D-backs got stomped last night. It happens. 12-1. Everyone has a stinker sometimes. That was a stinker. They'll get back to baseball tonight. Get back to playing Diamondback baseball. Listen, the Mercury season starts a couple weeks away. We will be covering the Mercury again this year. So be on the lookout. We definitely will keep up with what's going on. So tonight, NBA playoffs, who do I have outside of Milwaukee? Trust everything I say because I crapped the bed. I didn't listen. Everyone told me. I went off on my own. I went all Al B. Sure alone. I got off on my own, and I didn't listen to anybody. But I will tell you this. Denver is going to win that series. So, yes, I have Denver tonight at home. And I have Toronto over Philadelphia. Joel Embiid, probably the best front runner, best Twitter guy in basketball. But I think if you're going to be the best, you've got to play. Can't have tummy aches. Can't have poo-poo problems in the playoffs. You got to get over it. You got to do it. You got to man up. You got to do it. And until he's ready to do that, I have no confidence in Philadelphia beating Toronto. I think Siakam played his game with his injury. He's going to feel better. And if he doesn't feel better, he's already played a game with it. As long as Kyle Lowry shows up, this team will be okay. Give me Toronto. Give me Denver tonight. That's a wrap. We've hit just about everything. Big shout out thanks to the fans that called in on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. And big shout out to Greg Moore, award winning columnist from azcentral.com. Make sure you check my link. I'm going to put up what Richard Stein said to get Michael Carvajal into the Arizona Hall of Fame. And thanks big time to Rich Science for giving a call in on the Kerry Lackey Law line as well. Thank you, Leah Alicia, fellow engagement with Auto Nerd Media, for calling in today. Tomorrow, NBAer, my main man, my Chicago dude, played in the NBA for years. You know him. Still works closely with the NBA, closely with kids. One and only Stephen Hunter will be on the show tomorrow. So until then, get us on social media, the Twitter, Facebook fan page, Instagram, The Sports Cave, Caves with a K, thesportscave.com, Caves with a K, and get me directly on the Twitter, PLR on Sports. Until tomorrow, everyone, have a great Tuesday. This is The Cave Show. This is PLR. Talk to you tomorrow.